Greet you all in the precious name of our Lord. Invite you to turn to Psalm 99. As you're turning there, I was struck with something Harley said on Wednesday evening when he said that the Eastern Church has, their services have focused on worship and not as much on how-tos and how to live, and I'm not here to correct anything. I'm just trying to heed the Spirit as in leading you in worship. I don't believe that all our services are how-tos, but I was struck with that observation that he made, comparing it to the West, the church in the West, and Psalm 99, be reading the entire psalm and then looking at verse by verse. The Lord reigns, let the peoples tremble. He dwells between the cherubim, let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. The king's strength also loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests, and Samuel was among those who called upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinance he gave them. You answered them, O Lord our God. You were to them God who forgives, though you took vengeance on their deeds. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. There are three, my Bible breaks it down in three sections, and at the end of each one, it talks about God being holy. So I'd like to focus on that this morning. Verse 1 says the Lord reigns. Not just will reign, but is reigning. I think sometimes in our world today, and probably as long as life has existed, we have sometimes questioned, is God reigning? And the reason we ask those questions is because we don't feel like, and we think if he would be reigning, things would be different than what we're experiencing. But I would just like to affirm again this morning that our God reigns, he is reigning, and he will reign. And we look forward to the day when that reign is complete. And I think we will, where there will be absence of sin and of sorrow and of sickness and of death, I think that's what our heart longs for, and that's the reason the question comes in our minds, is God reigning? Also, we see that he dwells between the cherubim. Well, in the Old Testament, between the cherubim was where God's presence dwelt. Now he dwells in our hearts. Our hearts are now the mercy seat where God dwells. Moving on to verse 2. The Lord is great in Zion, he's above all the peoples. I believe we need to constantly live in the knowledge that God is high above us and yet very near. We dare not elevate one above the other, but I believe hold them in tension, if you want to call it that, that there are aspects of God that we will never understand. And yet, in the person of Jesus Christ, he came near. He was Emmanuel. He is God with us. And so he is very near, and yet let's not get the idea that we completely understand him. if he is near. His nearness, his presence in our lives is the comfort that we need and the protection. But his being high above us in his mysteriousness is also what leads us to awe and worship. And recognizing that he is near, and yet we have so much to learn about him and so much that we won't ever learn about him. Verse 3, God is holy. This is reason enough to praise him. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. He is set apart. He is not like any other gods that we can ever even compare him to. And I think sometimes when I grapple with God, it's because I see him through my humanness. And so a God above everything else surely would somehow be selfish, would somehow not be completely righteous. But that's because my filter is bad. God is above all, and he is holy, he's set apart, and he's set apart in so many ways, different from us as humans. And for that reason, we should praise him. Verse 4, God the King is always just and equitable. As judge, he will do things in justice and righteousness. When we have questions, thinking of the many questions, but the one more recent one that I've been dealing with is Henry Petersheim and his death and what led him to that. And as always, it's such a comfort to come back to knowing that God is the judge, not us. And he will be just and equitable. He understood Henry much more than any of us ever would, and he understands us. Verse 5. We are called to exalt him and worship him. He is holy. Moses, Aaron, and Samuel are mentioned as those who called on God and he heard them. We can with assurance call on the Lord and he will hear us. We don't always understand what his answers are, but this one thing I know, when we call out of a sincere heart, he hears us. And I believe that the psalmist here is just recognizing that, lifting these three men up as people who called on the Lord and God heard them. Verse 7 mentions the pillar of fire, the pillar of cloud, how they kept his commandments God gave them. They didn't do it perfectly, we know. We know the story. But God still was asking these things of them. In verse 8, he's a God who forgives. What a blessing to know that the holy God who requires righteousness is a God who forgives. He's a God we can come to and entreat. And verse 9, God is worthy to be exalted. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. So I invite you to worship this holy God. And to do that, I'd like to sing song number 113. And just invite you to think of our holy God. Holy, holy, holy. 113.
Holy, holy,
Let's pray. Yes, Lord, you are holy, and we worship you. We honor you, Lord. We desire to bring our lives in surrender and subjection to you, who are above all. Bless our service, bless the Sunday school time, the share time, and the message to your honor and to your glory, and draw us to yourself. Pray this through Christ. Amen.